Welcome to the Justine Blaney Wellness Center podcast. We are here to help you be your best. You'll be able to lead your family and friends with amazing energy and vitality. So listen in. We've got amazing information just for you.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. We are going to be talking about how to overcome autoimmune conditions by balancing your hormones. And this comes from an article by Dr. Jockers. So please help me welcome both Dr. Justine and Dr. Udani.
Hello, everyone. And we've got great information for you. Whoever doesn't feel like they want to pull their hair out or feel like their hormones are out of whack or they're just a little moody that day. So today we're covering 12 ways to balance your hormones. So we're going to talk about six problems and then we're going to talk about 12 solutions. Isn't that great? Because that's more solutions than problems, right? So we got 12 solutions coming your way. So hormones can be super, super important for your health. All of us need to balance as best we can our hormones. None of us are perfect, but a hormonal imbalance can be the root cause of autoimmune conditions, and it can wreak havoc with every part of your life. These microscopic messengers, these messengers of the endocrine system need to go all over, and they do a lot of really, really big jobs to help you be healthy. So when we talk about the importance of these healthy hormones, they're coming from all different parts of your body. A lot of times people think hormones just maybe from their thyroid, but they're not realizing they can come from the top part of your brain, your pineal gland, your hypothalamus, your pituitary, all top part in your head, your thyroid, your thymus, your pancreas, your adrenals. Adrenals sit on top of those kidneys. So there's many parts of your hormones that are vital, that are affecting your appetite, or lack of or increase of, your sex drive, your sleep, and they affect your energy, your weight, and they do affect your mood. So too much, too little can throw us off balance. So today's the solutions and ways to manage hormones. And if the hormones are out of balance, that can cause autoimmune diseases. That can be the more serious side, but sometimes we can just have brain fog, feel low energy, or just like, hangry or moody, or we're just like our weight's fluctuating all over, we're hot, we're cold. These are all signs of hormone imbalance. And this is not just women, right? Like you can't just blame PMS or PCOS. It's not just that time of the month. Hormones are affecting all of us, men and women of all ages. So super important to get our hormones in balance. Millions and millions of us do not have our hormones in balance, and that's affecting our energy. So today's information is going to come from a pretty cool book that Dr. Jockers took an excerpt from. The book is called Beat Autoimmune, The Six Keys to Reverse Your Condition and Reclaim Your Health. It is by Palmer Coppola. You'll see that at the bottom of the screen, Palmer Coppola. And getting to the root causes. Now, we're covering an excerpt of this book, but this book talks about the acronym FITES, which represents F for food, I for dealing with infections, G for dealing with gut health, H for hormone health, T for reducing toxins, and of course, S, reducing stress. And that's something that Dr. Udani and I are super passionate about. So great acronym, the acronym FITES, coming from this book from Palmer. And we're going to talk about a section of it today on dealing with hormone balance. So when we deal with the six hormone imbalances, that can affect your insulin, your cortisol. When I was younger, I was definitely estrogen dominant. And I could tell you personally, I found it hard to manage and certainly could do it on my own. Did affect a menstrual cycle, did affect skin, did affect energies. Looking at vitamin D levels, again, test, don't guess. So get your vitamin D levels checked with your naturopath or with your medical doctor. And then what the heck is DHEA, right? What's that? So Dr. Udani is going to be teaching us today about that and the ways, what these six hormonal imbalances. Now, these are all going to sound like problems, but hang in there because we've got 12 solutions.
Thank you so much for that, Dr. Justine. So let's jump right into one of the most common hormone imbalances that a lot of us are actually dealing with. So, you know, because of the way that we are living our lives, a lot of us are becoming really, really pre-diabetic or having really high blood sugar that's not getting under control. And a lot of that is because of the hormone insulin, which is your body's just not responding well to. So I think of insulin like this hormone that knocks on the door of the cell and it opens the door so that the sugar in the blood can go into the cell. But what can happen is when we eat too much sugar or when there's a lot of inflammation or when there's a lot of stress, the cell almost has headphones. So it's deaf to insulin knocking on the door. So more and more insulin needs to be produced, but the cell is more and more deaf to that signal. So what ends up happening is you get insulin resistance building up. So, and when this happens, the blood sugar keeps rising. You feel more hungry, even though you have all this blood sugar in your blood, it's just not getting into the cells. So you might notice that you tend to get really hungry all the time, or you might feel thirsty. You're craving sweets. One of the really common signs of insulin resistance is you feeling really tired after a big meal. So that is like, you know, when you get that food coma, that could be an early sign of insulin resistance. And some people even develop things like acne on the skin, skin tags. High blood pressure and high cholesterol can also follow high insulin. So this is where we really want to test instead of guessing. You know, we can order lab work to make sure your insulin levels are healthy, your blood sugar is healthy, and that way we can really figure out how to deal with the high insulin. Number two is cortisol. So cortisol is your stress hormone. And you know, as humans, we are made to deal with stress and we can thrive in certain stressful situations. But what happens is we're all dealing with stress too much these days, you know? So we tend to get stressed all the time. And that is when the cortisol starts to become dysregulated. So when you have too high cortisol or too little, you tend to feel tired but wired. So a lot of my patients say, you know, they have trouble sleeping, they're tossing and turning, they're not getting that good 7 to 8, 9 hour sleep. Some people even develop anxiety. You can get heart palpitations. And also there's cravings. So sweet cravings can be increased when you have too high cortisol. And you might even notice that you might get a little bit of belly fat that just is so stubborn. So this is all because of your adrenals. Like Dr. Justine mentioned, they sit on top of your kidneys. They're producing too much cortisol and your body is just becoming resistant to that as well. And over time, what happens when you have too much stress is your adrenals end up getting tired and they stop producing as much cortisol. So then you start to feel really burnt out, you know, and just like no motivation. You don't even want to get out of bed. So that's also something we don't want to deal with either. And number three is estrogen dominance. So like Dr. Justine mentioned, estrogen dominance can be kind of complicated. You know, there's a lot of symptoms. A lot of it is with women, but men can also experience estrogen dominance too. So estrogen dominance is basically there's just more estrogen compared to progesterone or testosterone. So think of progesterone like the yin and yang, you know, the estrogen is the yin, progesterone is the yang. So they balance each other out. But if there's too little progesterone, which can happen when you have too much cortisol, because cortisol likes to steal progesterone, especially when you're stressed, you can develop estrogen dominance. So this is when you get, you know, you can develop conditions like endometriosis, like that painful periods, really heavy clots, lots of PMS, even depression, anxiety. You can get a lot of weight gain in your hips and thighs, and even can develop thyroid problems as well. So this can all be because of chronic stress. And of course, there's a lot of estrogen in our environment these days in the form of different plastics and in birth control, you know, synthetic hormones. So there is always more estrogen compared to progesterone and testosterone in the environment. So our bodies is constantly facing with this. And if we have stress, we're not going to be able to detox estrogen properly too. So this is something that I, of course, help with my patients, because there's a lot of patients that do deal with PMS symptoms and they think it's normal to have really heavy periods and really heavy, like where you're taking time off work at least. And that's not normal. You know, we want to balance the estrogen, and there are ways to safely balance it as well.
And then add here, Dr. Udani, if you go back, Angela, this is really serious to manage. It's not something like, oh, I can tough it out. I'm sucking out. It's only a couple of days a month, or, you know, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal because estrogen dominance is a huge part of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And it certainly affected my mom when she had breast cancer. There are estrogen dominant causes to different types of breast cancer. This does slowly progress to become very, very serious problem. And it does need to be addressed. And often our conventional medical system waits till the fire rather than getting all of the, you know, fire alarms in your home, right? And so with a Dr. Udani, the goal is to make sure you're addressing the problem before you have a fire.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Justine, for mentioning that. That is so true. Because, like, you know, your body's always sending signals when something's off, and it's up to us to listen to it and get tested and figure out what's going on. Yes. And speaking of getting tested, one of the other really common hormone imbalances is having a low thyroid. So your thyroid gland is just at the base of your neck. And this is the gland that controls your metabolism. So controls how your weight is maintained, can control your energy levels. It can even control how you feel. So like anxiety and depression can be part of the thyroid as well. And I actually used to have a low thyroid, and I remember feeling so tired. Like the afternoon hits and I needed to always take a nap, and I was so out of it. No focus, very sluggish, and always cold. So that's another symptom of a low thyroid, is you feeling cold all the time. So it's when everyone around you is wearing t-shirts, but you feel like wearing a sweater, you know? So that's not normal either. And another thing with the low thyroid is constipation. It can be very common to experience constipation with low thyroid. And so this is a leading cause hormonal imbalance. And, you know, up to 90% of people dealing with a low thyroid, they also might have an autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's. Now, a lot of medical doctors don't really test for this, whereas I usually test for the antibodies to make sure to figure out, is there something going on here? That way, like Dr. Justine mentioned, we catch it before it becomes a big problem, you know, because these signs are always there. And so one of the things with the low thyroid is, you know, you really want to look at food sensitivities and things like that, which we're gonna talk about a little bit down the line.
This one is so important, Dr. Udani, because a lot of times people will get muscle aches or tingling in their hands and then go get carpal tunnel surgery. When it's actually a thyroid problem. So they're looking at the end of the hose. If the hose is, you know, the water's not coming out of the hose, they're looking and shaking the end of the hose rather than looking, is it the hose kinked somewhere? Is there a problem upstream? And a lot of what we're talking about is that all these symptoms interact, and that's why it's so important for a chiropractor and a naturopath working together to check your nervous system. And it controls everything here, but also you have to look at the hormonal system. There isn't one problem, one solution. Many times there's one problem that has many different reactions, and it needs multiple health professionals working together to help you be your best.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that too, because sometimes I notice that, you know, some of the patients that have a thyroid problem, come in with the cholesterol medication too, or needing iron. And so like nobody has made that connection that low thyroid can cause high cholesterol, you know? So it's like, we really always want to get to the root cause of what's going on. And it's often is a hormonal imbalance, or, you know, something that we can really fix, you know, fix with lifestyle changes and things like that. Okay, jumping on to number five is low vitamin D. So, you know, a lot of us don't get the sun that we should be getting. And it's because, you know, we tend to stay inside in the winter. We really get like, what, 3-4 months of summer. And a lot of times we don't really necessarily go out as much either. So our vitamin D levels tend to kind of go down. And I usually test vitamin D in patients, because, you know, it tends to be low. And, sometimes, you know, the older you get, it can also go down. If you have a darker skin tone, it's harder for the sun to produce vitamin D. And then there could also be genetic mutations in the vitamin D receptor. So it's always important to test and don't guess, because we also don't want to overdo the vitamin D as well. So vitamin D isn't just for bone health, you know? It's not just for increasing your calcium so that you have stronger bones. It's also very important for your immune system. It's very good for protecting you against cancers, and also great for brain health as well. So very important vitamin that we want to get tested. Number six is low DHEA. So what is DHEA? I like to think DHEA like the grandmother of all hormones, you know? It is what kind of give birth to testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, cortisol. So this is the hormone that kind of is like the foundation. So when stress is high, your adrenals work overtime to make cortisol, you know, and cortisol likes to steal. So it'll steal away from all the other hormones. So it's going to take a lot of that DHEA to produce itself. And when that happens, you're going to get imbalances in your estrogen, your testosterone, your progesterone. And so it can cause a lot of those symptoms that we just talked about. So when you have too much low DHEA, you can feel really tired. You can have decreased stamina, just fatigue, and you can have low libido, lots of infections, thin skin, dry skin, eyes, poor memory. So if you're feeling these things, like, don't guess. We can test for your DHEA levels. And a lot of women, as we get older, we can get low DHEA because our adrenals aren't producing as much. So this is also where we want to really take a look, test, don't guess. That way we can figure out, okay, how are your DHEA levels doing? Because all these hormones are a part of one big family, right? So if one is low, it's going to affect the other one. And so we really want to make sure everything is optimal. And so let's jump into 12 ways to balance your hormones. So we're going to go a lot of in depth with these, but we want to, you know, go ahead and remove some of the sad foods, replace them with veggies. We want to reduce alcohol and caffeine, enjoy healthy fats. They're very important for hormones, healing your gut, avoiding toxicants, very important as well. Getting enough good sleep, moving your body and getting outside, even having time to pause daily and considering a ketogenic diet, intermittent fasting, and optimizing vitamin D levels. So we're going to jump right into these.
Great stuff, Dr. Udeni. So starting off with number one, we're going into solutions. We talked about six problems and the fact that many times these problems were not tested properly. Or they only test one part, so give you high cholesterol medication, but never get back to that it was a hormone imbalance, never get to the root cause. And that's why highly recommend getting testing done with a naturopath. It's just much more thorough. So when we talk about balancing your hormones, we got to look at our diet. And the good news is the list of anti-inflammatory foods is three times the size of the foods that are bad for you, all right? So there's a lot of good stuff, grass-fed meat, lemon and limes or berries in your water, simple, easy one and tastes great to have that in your water, especially as summer's coming up. Freeze some berries, put them in your water, put lemon or a lime in your water, adding those healthy fats, green tea before bed, try for organic, starchy vegetables, turmeric. I was just at Healthy Planet the other day. Yummy. This is what it was. It was turmeric with hot water, little bit of oat milk, little bit of maple syrup, and cinnamon. So it was like a warm tea that just warmed your tube all the way down to your stomach, just an ounce or so. Absolutely delicious. And it is an anti-inflammatory. So amazing. Those wild caught fish instead of farmed. Looking at bone broth, my husband, amazing. He makes his own. Adding apple cider vinegar, ginger to your teas, amazing. Ginger to your food. Getting those healthy fats for your oils, fermented vegetables. That's probably one I'm weak at, to be honest. Coconut oil, coconut butter. So adding oregano. This is, you know, spring's coming. Grow your own. One of the areas of making your own and growing your own rosemary, growing your own oregano. There's a lot of these spices that are easy to just grow on your balcony as it's coming up, or put it in your front window and they last all year. So some of these areas, adding onions, chives, are things that we can add in as we're trying to avoid that processed, fried, conventional, in a package, in a box, in a plastic type of foods that actually make your hormones worse. There's so many phytoestrogens. And so it's so much easier to add the good stuff so that the bad stuff falls off your plate. So number one, we're looking into a healthier diet instead of the standard American diet. Number two is we want to reduce caffeine and alcohol. Are the top foods, as you look at that, thumbs down, right? Thumbs down. Soy is one of the ones that people get upset about, especially if they're vegetarian. There's so much tofu that is bad for you, all right? There's so much like Beyond Burgers. There's so much about like it's, oh, it's vegetarian, so it's healthier, or even it's gluten-free or it's because it's healthier. It's not true. We still need to read those labels. And a lot of soy products are create phytoestrogens and actually create hormone imbalance. Alcohol, this is not no alcohol, all right? A glass of wine every other day is not the problem. The problem is a bottle of wine on Saturday, okay? So we want to look typically towards white alcohol. That can be a lot better. So if you know, like vodka would be, gin would be better than trying to have like a rum and coke, right? Because now you're mixing the coke, which is adding the bad sugars and all the bad high fructose corn syrup with your alcohol. Mm-hmm. Coffee, yes, one coffee a day is not going to kill you. The problem is most people aren't doing organic coffee. We're hitting Tim's, right? And it's addictive. And then it's really hard to get off because you get the headaches, you get the withdrawal. So again, if you are loving these areas, this is where you want to coach along the way so that it gets easier. You don't have the side effects, the withdrawal side effects as you try to reduce these products. And then look to, well, how do I add? Like, what do I add instead? Just like that turmeric shot that I was telling you about, like automatically I felt like revved up again, you know, it boosted me and boosted my energy. So what do you do instead to be better? And that's where we need some help. Number three is enjoying healthy fats. Butter is okay. Margarine is plastic. So throw that margarine out. Doesn't matter if it says it's good for your heart. That just is great marketing. All right. Ghee. I can be honest. I'm not really good. I don't know how to cook with that. I'm not a great cook anyway. My husband's the best. So I'm learning and looking up different recipes, asking for help with different recipes to add coconut milk, coconut oil, and avocado oil. How do you do it? Where do you use it? Can you cook with it? These are areas that you want to help ask for help and start to do great research now. That's amazing because there's so many wonderful recipes online. I grew up that eggs, you could only have 2 eggs a week or it's bad for your cholesterol, right? In fact, I think it was 19 when I was trying out for the Olympics. And they said I had high cholesterol, so told me I couldn't have shrimp and couldn't have eggs. That's literally the advice I got. And then they found out that they had the wrong blood work. It wasn't mine. They had it all messed up. I redid my blood work. But the new research is completely different. You do not have to limit to 2 eggs a week. You want to determine what is right for you, and you can absolutely have more eggs than that or add egg whites. That's getting a lot easier with being able to, even at Costco, being able to get egg whites at a lower cost. So some of these bad fats, they're everywhere. So when you think, oh, I'm just getting a muffin at Tim's, or I'm just getting a little treat at Starbucks, or I'm buying that those croissants at Costco, right? A lot of this is made with cheap, bad fats. A lot of the salad dressings, you can say, oh, it looks good. It looks like oil and vinegar. Yeah, but then it has sunflower oil or corn oil in it, safflower oil, because they want it cheap, okay? So definitely the goal is to start to every week, try to read one new thing that comes in your home, read the labels. The more, if every week you read one thing new, at the end of the year, you've read 52 new things, then you're like, crap, I shouldn't be having that. What do I replace it with? So one new thing every single day, every single week, to start to make one swap a week will make a big difference. As we get into number four, Dr. Yudani.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Justine. So everything that Dr. Justine mentioned from one to three is going to affect your gut, you know? So like the good quality fats you're eating, reducing your alcohol and caffeine, and also having those great grass-fed beef, the herbs and spices, they really help your good gut bacteria grow. They help heal your gut lining, because we need a good gut health to balance our hormones, because, you know, our gut is considered our second brain. It's also where most of our immune system is there too. So if the gut is not functioning well, it's going to really ramp up that inflammation, and it's going to increase the stress in your body. Also, I want to mention that, you know, alcohol, for example, can really kill the good gut bacteria. So I had a patient come in who was drinking pretty regularly, and they had no idea that they were doing this, but they were experiencing so much bloating and so many loose stools. So we just came up with a plan to manage their alcohol consumption and also heal the gut lining, and they were getting better. So just like when we see these, make these connections, you really start to realize, okay, how everything is connected. So gut, healing your gut is something that I'm so passionate about. And we love to do this because it really is connected to so many other parts of your health. Number five is avoiding the toxins. So I know we're all surrounded by lots of different things these days, you know, our detergents, the fragrances, the perfumes, the food containers. So sometimes it is, you know, it's almost impossible these days to completely cut out toxicants. And these toxins can really affect your estrogen. But what we can do is, the more we know, like Dr. Justine mentioned, the more we read the labels, the more we really make conscious decisions, we can make a change. So, for example, I used to carry my lunch in a plastic container all the time, and I would put it in the microwave. But that's not good, because that heat makes the plastic leach these toxins into your food. So now I carry a glass container, or I have a stainless steel water bottle or a glass water bottle. And so even things like that is really, really helpful. My brother, I remember when he was growing up, he used to get this allergic reaction, and we had no idea what was going on. He was getting hives everywhere. We did so many allergy tests, and turns out it was the detergent. So we had to change it to a healthier detergent. And, you know, so sometimes these things can be very obvious, like having an allergic reaction. Other times it's like you just feel tired, you feel fatigued, you're gaining weight and not sure what's going on. And it could be that you're having too high of these toxins. And, you know, pesticides, for example, if you heard of glyphosate, it's called Roundup. It's a very common pesticide that's found in so many foods. So going for that organic produce whenever you can is such a great idea. Same with even bleached feminine hygiene products, so pads and tampons, right? So making sure that there's so many healthier options out there now, like the Diva Cup, or, you know, even those period underwear, because, you know, you are putting something, you know, kind of very close to a hormonally sensitive area. So we want to make sure that's also, we keep an eye, we are mindful of these things. Because one small habit a week can really change up your whole life by the end of the year. The number six is getting enough good sleep. So this can be difficult for a lot of us, especially when we're going through a lot of stressful period, you know, but there are tips that we can do. I think the biggest thing is you want to stop the coffee at least 6 hours before you go to bed, because coffee can stay in your system up to 6 hours. So you might feel really wide awake and, you know, not be able to fall asleep. You can have your room really kind of cool because the cold temperature helps you feel more relaxed and go to bed faster. Keep it as dark as possible. I remember getting blackout curtains really helped me get that good 7 to 9 hour sleep. Using a sleep mask, sometimes that a weighted sleep mask over your eyes can be really nice because it kind of gives you a bit of that, it makes you feel more tired. I have a weighted blanket and it feels like a hug. So it feels, you feel really like a bundled up and it's really nice. So that's another thing you can also add as well. And also try not to eat 2 to 3 hours within your sleeping. Because when you eat, you're getting that insulin up and then your body's like, I have all this energy. I need to use it up. So you feel more awake. So you also want to calm that system down too. And getting enough sun. So during the day, when you have enough sun, you're increasing your vitamin D, but you're also increasing your melatonin at the end of the day. And melatonin is important for helping you to feel sleepier and fall asleep. And making sure you do some exercises regularly. You know, this helps as well to make your body feel a little bit more tired and can get you to falling asleep as well. And you really want to avoid bright light, you know, just after sunset. I tell my patients to have a red light lamp because that can help you feel like there's sunset and get your brain into that sleeping mode. And you can get these red light lamps on Amazon. It's really also great for your skin as well. You just have it, like, you know, lit up in your bedroom and that can help you feel more tired. And you really want to start a nice bedtime routine where you wind down maybe around 9 o'clock. And now actually there's more research showing that women, we do need more sleep than men. So we need about 7 to 9 hours of sleep, which is like the optimal for us to work better and for our hormones. So, you know, trying to get that sleep as much as possible. Of course, I know everybody's busy, but some of these tips can go a long way.
All right. Great hints. And we've had numerous talks on sleep, on your pillows, on your bed, on your temperature. So we do have talks online to go back to. We want to balance our hormones, get our bodies moving. That's going to help. I think everybody knows about our mood, our energy, but it also helps with lymphatic drainage. And that means getting the toxins out. If the toxins build up, that's going to create some of this hormone damage. So it's basically like how... you know, getting the junk out of your body, sweating it out, getting lymphatic movement is super important for our overall energy, hormones, and mental clarity. We want to make sure we get time outside. Now, this is tough in the winter for many people, getting that time outside. It's getting easier as we hit spring, we hit summer, getting that time outside, whether it's biking, hiking, walking, even sitting outside in the sun. Just getting that melatonin is going to be super, super important. We do talk about walking outside, walking barefoot. If you can get on healthier grass, it's not full of pesticides or sand or the beach, but grounding or often called earthing is getting our body walking outside. So, Angela, you want to switch to slide number 8. That's getting our time outside for balancing our hormones. And we know this when we see the beauty and it helps to just calm us. And that'll help overall with our hormones and to get that better sleep. Number 9 is getting some time to pause, right? And I got to tell you, Dr. Udane's go over, but this one's hard for me, all right? I really struggle with quiet time. It has to be scheduled, or for me, it has to be part of a routine. I have a chair right over there, like a favorite chair where my feet can hit the ground because I'm short. Okay. Most chairs, my feet stick straight out. So finding whatever your favorite place is, to pause.
Yes, I think Dr. Justine, you nailed it, because it's like it really can be whatever you want, whatever is like your pocket of peace or your safe space where you just feel like you can really like relax and let your guard down and just really lower that cortisol. And for a lot of us, it could be going outside, right? Going for that walk where we just kind of reconnect with nature. It could even be prayer. So, you know, where we just reconnect with our spirituality and connection to God or the universe. Meditation is really amazing too. Sometimes though, you just need to dance, you just need to get that energy out of you. This could also be a quick workout as well. I love listening to soothing music whenever, even when I'm cleaning, I put some soothing music on and I just get into this zone where I'm just like, okay, I'm cleaning. That's it. I don't have to think about anything else. And sometimes it's also, you can do like a Epsom salt bath with a few essential oil drops to help soothe the muscles. So this is really about prioritizing that pause, you know, every day where you find a moment where you can just have a little bit of time for yourself. Because a lot of us these days, we're giving, you know, our cup is empty because we're giving to so many things, so many people, and we need to pour into ourselves too. And this is one of the ways that we can really prioritize that, is pausing daily and focusing on how can we give to ourselves. Going to number 10 is the ketogenic diet, which is Dr. Justine's favorite diet.
Yeah. So coming up on that pause, I mean, I have been that busy mom where you're like, I have no time for anything. Like, I'm just survival mode when you have kids that you're driving everywhere. So sometimes that pause time is just the 5 minutes with a coffee in the morning, or sometimes it's literally you're dropping the kids off or you're picking them up from school and you just sit, close your eyes for a few minutes in your car. Yeah. You know, like we may need to be a little bit, when we have those busy, crazy periods in our life, it might be a multitasking period, right? It might be just that 2 or 3 minutes when you're driving home, and before you enter your door and get into your house, you just take 2 minutes in your car, just slow breathing, mm-hmm. just to calm our bodies, get rid of the negative day so that we're coming in and being our very best for our family when we get in our home. Mm-hmm. Now, ketogenic diet, doing it 24/7 forever isn't healthy either. All right. So this is why it talks about cyclical, meaning that you have to have on and off. And the goal is, yes, to be able to get to states, especially during different times of your life, if you are having hormone challenges or other health challenges with your heart, with your cholesterol, to reduce sugar significantly, try to get your body using ketones, but you don't want to be doing ketones all the time. And so that means you got to take time off, whether it's a weekend off or a month off, and then you get back to it. So there's times of fasting and then there's times of feasting. Feasting meaning like, okay, like you're going to take a weekend off. That doesn't mean you're going to McDonald's. Doesn't mean you're like having a binge of tons of alcohol, but you're having a weekend off. You're eating, you might be having bread, for example. You might be increasing your fiber in other ways. You might be, it's your birthday and you're having dessert, right? You're out for company, but then you get back on track. When we're feasting, we're creating more growth and building. And you see this in weightlifters. There's times when the weightlifters and people who train for figure, they eat more, they build up all these calories, and then they got to fast to lower their weight. So this cyclic motion can be very healthy, but it also needs to be monitored because it can get where you're feasting too often and you're not getting back on track. So sometimes we need a coach to kind of re-guide us to get back to our true goals. Number 11 is intermittent fasting. And there's so many different ways. I do try to practice intermittent fasting. The key is here, though, if it stresses you out, mm-hmm. you're actually going to increase those bad hormones and the cortisol. So for example, I know personally, I cannot do a warrior fast. To fast for 19 to 21 hours a day, meaning eating for 3 hours a day, it would freak me out. I cannot do that. I feel like I'm deprived all day and I'm like, all I can think about is what I can eat next. Mm-hmm. Right? My sister actually can manage just not eating for a day, no problem. So, and it doesn't stress her. She just doesn't think about it. She's also about 100 pounds. So everybody is different. The simple fast is something most people can do, which is 12 hours. For example, you're eating between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. or 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. getting your dinner earlier in the day, like we talked about, so you have more time of not eating. That's when you can have clear broths, bone broths, teas before bed, but you're trying to eat your dinner closer to 5:30, 6 o'clock. So that's shortening your window. So that's one that I think is for everyone. Brunch fast is like you're increasing the hours. You can mix and match these. So often simple fast is sort of the my go-to, but also looking at adding a one day a week. So for me, my busiest day of the week is Wednesdays. Typically work 15 or 16 hours on Wednesdays. And honestly, eating takes time. So this is a day that I eat very little, like maybe some egg whites, a couple eggs, and tea all day. So I don't have to worry about one prep time. I don't have to worry about eating time. I'm working and I'm sleeping and I'm working out. Now, there is that fear that when you're fasting, you can't work out. And that's just a lie, unless you are like an Olympic athlete, ultra marathoner, you know, and a half marathon. There are reasons when you cannot fast. But the majority of us, we have enough sugar in our body. We have enough glucose in our body. We can last a day. Right? We can last a day without food as long as we're staying hydrated. And that's the key, is when you're doing this, you want to do hydrated. And if you're confused, please talk to a naturopath, a holistic nutritionist, your chiropractor, because at the beginning, you could have side effects, right? It can affect your bowels where you get constipation. It can affect your focus. It can affect headaches. Mm-hmm. It isn't something you jump in and go hard out, just like exercising. We wouldn't recommend that you run a marathon. You start with a walk, just go to a 5-minute jog. You go to a 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon. We don't jump in so hard that we're going to crush our hormones and increase that cortisol response.
Totally agree with you, Dr. Justine. You know, when we're doing any kind of diet changes or intermittent fasting, we really got to see like, how is your baseline stress doing? And this is where, you know, it's really important to have a coach, because sometimes, you know, I've had patients who've starved themselves and they're like, why is my weight not shifting? You know, and they feel even more stressed. They should gain more weight because of that too. So when it comes to hormonal imbalances, it's really important to know where you're at and how your body is feeling, because that's the foundation that we got to go from. Jumping to the last point is optimizing your vitamin D level. So, you know, we really want to get your vitamin D levels tested to see where you are at, and then figure out if we need to supplement, or, you know, if you need to be more outside more. So basically when you're trying to get vitamin D from the sun, which is the best way to get it, because your skin is the most efficient way that your body produces vitamin D. Like, you can get it from supplements, of course. But you know, sometimes our digestive system, if it's not doing well, it's not going to be absorbing well. Right? So you want to try and get at least, 15 to 45 minutes of good quality sun. So this is like direct sun, at least 2 to 4 times a week, you know, in a large part of your body. So, you know, like making sure, you know, your arms are exposed, your face, your legs, so that way we're getting lots of sun into our skin. The lighter your skin is, maybe you might not need as much. So Dr. Justine might not need as much as me, because she's going to be producing a lot more vitamin D in a shorter amount of time. So but for me, I might need to spend at least an hour, you know, 3 to 4 days a week in the sun to get the right amount of vitamin D. So and during colder months, you know, it is a smart idea to take some vitamin D in either form of drops or a supplement. I prefer the drops because it is a little bit easier absorbed into you. And even for your kids as well, you know, especially if your kids are getting feeling more tired in the winter months, there is a risk, there is a link with low vitamin D and anxiety and depression, you know. So there's a lot of connections with low vitamin D and other issues, you know, health concerns. So get tested. That way we can see how you're doing, and then we can either supplement or do this with lifestyle changes as well. I love vitamin D. It's a great, amazing vitamin. It's actually considered a hormone, to be honest, because this is how it acts in the body. It just acts on so many different levels. So really, now we talked about the six imbalances, but also the 12 different ways that we can balance our hormones in a healthy way. And really the key to balancing is to live in harmony with nature, how nature made us, and just to live in that peace and in that harmony, and to stop harming ourselves with unnatural things, you know, like sugar and stress. These tend to be the biggest ones, you know, that can really throw us off our hormones. But there are ways that we can come back to ourselves where we can balance out our hormones in a healthy and long-lasting way. And a lot of times, hormone imbalances tend to be the root cause of autoimmune conditions, digestive conditions, and things like that as well. So the key is we're going to eliminate or remove the obstacles as much as possible so that way we can live in harmony with the way nature intended us to be.
Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Udani. And we do sell pure, healthy vitamin D drops at the office. And we do sell for kids vitamin D gummies, also zinc gummies, vitamin C gummies at a high quality without the junk in it. Why do we sell it? Because that's what our family uses. All right. We're not a healthy planet. We don't have a ton in our office, but we just have to try and have the top quality ones that most people need. So what does this nervous system have to do with hormones? Guess what? If your nervous system is out of whack, you have those areas of subluxation pressure on your spine. It increases stress, increases hormone imbalance. So the goal of the chiropractor is reducing stress on your spine, reducing stress on your spine nervous system and the messages from your brain and all those different organs we talked about, the adrenals, the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus. So as we reduce stress, our body is able to adapt to the environment better. And chiropractors, our goal is to help find these areas of subluxation, and you may or may not feel them. Doesn't mean you have to have pain. Just like you may not feel that you're low vitamin D, you don't know. I was low vitamin zinc. I didn't know until I got tested with Dr. Udani. I was taking zinc, but not enough. And so if you don't test, you don't know. Same with your spine nervous system. If you don't test it, you don't get it checked regularly, you have no idea if it's functioning at its best. So we do recommend that everybody has regular checkups for the spine nervous system and regular checkups with a naturopath. And Dr. Udani is my naturopath and definitely the doctor I trust the most. All right, upcoming, we have so many upcoming webinars. Stay tuned with us. One new thing a week. We love helping you. And if you have new topics you're interested in, please let us know. We look forward to seeing you every single week. These are things you can watch while you clean your house, while you do your laundry, fold your laundry, while you're making dinner. This is an opportunity to multitask and continually to learn more. Because that daily one thing, right? Constant and never ending improvement. That's all we can do. If we learn 50 new things a year, imagine how that compounds and what we can be. So connect with us. Please do a review. That helps us help others. Share this information with others. This is our volunteer time. We love, we care about you. We want to help. So we look forward to being with you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. And we hope you learned a lot of things and have an amazing evening.
Hi, this is Dr. Justine, and I'm so happy you were able to listen to this amazing podcast. I just want to make sure you know that this information isn't designed to diagnose or treat any condition. Please see your healthcare provider, your naturopath or chiropractor, for more information.